the affirmations formula, I believe, saved my life, because every time I felt the fear, I would read the affirmation. Step one, I am committed to beating cancer no matter what and living to be 100 plus years old alongside Ursula and the kids. There is no other option. And I would say it over and over and over with such conviction every day, in the morning, during the day, at night, whenever I felt fear. And I'm telling you, and this is true for anybody, we all have fear to reach any goal that we have. Whether your goal is I want to earn more money, or I want to write a book or start a business or find the love of my life, there's always fear in that commitment, right? But when I read it with such conviction every day, within a matter of weeks, the fear literally disappeared.
I'd like to start this podcast in a way that I've never have before, which is opening up to a random page in the book and see what happens. Okay. The Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod. When is this coming out? The new expanded version, obviously, the Miracle Morning has sold 2 million copies, maybe over 3 million copies at this point.
Yeah. The original has, yeah. And then this is the updated and expanded edition with 70 pages of new content. And I rewrote almost every page. I went line by line and was like, oh, this sounds terrible. I'm going to make this. It's funny. Well, like if you look at your old work, right? Like anything, if you watch yourself doing your first podcast, right? You're probably like, oh my God, I was so goofy. Like I wasn't a good interviewer, you know? And so when I go back to the original book, I'm like, how is this sold 2 million copies? Like this is embarrassing, you know? So I've wanted to update the book and just make it better. And I've done the Miracle Morning for 15 years. So it, you know, the idea that like I've learned and evolved so much from my Miracle Morning practice, and I've taken the practice itself to, you know, totally new heights. So I was like, I've been waiting for the right time to update the book and add all that new content and, you know, yeah, make it better.
All right, when did you know? I want to get to the random passage in a second, yeah. But when did you know you wanted to update it?
So this is a great kind of behind the scenes story. So I met someone named Mike Koenigs, who's now become a friend. He's very well known in, you know, the internet space. And I met him at a dinner, and John Lee Dumas, the host of Entrepreneur on Fire, introduced us. And he's like, Mike, you got to talk to Hal about his Miracle Morning book. It's self-published. It sold how many copies, Hal? And I'm like, at that time, I go, we just surpassed 100,000. Wow. Mike's like, really? Do you have an agent? So long story short, he introduced me to his agent. And I had always thought, like, for the Miracle Morning to go to the next level and reach more people, I need to get it traditionally published because it was self-published initially. And so we meet the agent. We meet with, like, 13 New York publishers. We get, like, 12 nice offers, and I turned down all of them. It just none of them felt right. The finances weren't right. It wasn't a good deal. And I felt kind of discouraged. I'm like, I feel like I'm letting the agent down. They set up all these meetings for me. And my agent is Celeste Fine. I've been with her ever since. And they then came back and said, hey, the Miracle Morning, our foreign rights department thinks this would do really well overseas. Would you be open to us taking the foreign rights to other countries? I go, well, what does that mean? They said, you'd keep all your rights in the US, it would stay self-published, and then we would traditionally publish it with some of the top foreign publishers in other countries. I'm like, so what am I missing out on? She goes, nothing. It's like having your cake and eating it too. I'm like, okay. So then over the years, it's been published by 37 different foreign publishers, and it's been the number one best-selling book in Brazil, sold over 1 million copies just in Brazil, number one in Korea. I talked to a Harvard student the other day from Korea. He interviewed me on his show, and he said, Hal, I don't think, he goes, do you know how big the Miracle Morning is in Korea? I said, well, I know it was the number one best-selling book of every book in the country like a few years ago, like, but other than that, what do you mean? He said, it's part of our culture. Wow. We now, if you have a great morning because of your book, we call it a Miracle Morning. Wow. I was like, what? So anyway, to long story short, it was about finding the right publisher that saw the vision. Because here's the thing with traditional publishers, and I don't want to knock any traditional publishers, but it's a business and they're churning out books, right? So usually you get very little attention. Your book, they're like, all right, cool. We'll put one person on your book for like a month and they'll do a little, and then we'll get right. And then we never think about it again. And my agent, who's like, she's like family to me. Like she looks out for my best interests. We love each other. I don't know if she would agree with that, but I love her. She's amazing. But she, you know, she's like, Hal, we have to find the right partner that isn't just going to consider Miracle Morning like another book on their roster, but is going to see that this book could be the next Think and Grow Rich. Like this book, you know, has tens of millions of potential readers that we just haven't reached yet. So it was finding that right partner. And about a year and a half ago, maybe, we found that publisher, Ben Bella, and they saw the vision. And so that was it. It was like, okay, now we have the right publisher. And then I went, well, now's if you guys are going to release the book, now's the time for me to completely update it, expand it, put everything new in that I want. So that was when it became the right time, is when we found that right publisher to bring it to, you know, millions of people that haven't found it online because they buy their books at Target or Walmart or Barnes and Noble or, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh my God, I have so many questions. It's so crazy too, because I'm in the world of personal development and have been for some time, but like your book and you was outside of my consciousness, which is pretty wild to think about before Akshay introduced this. And maybe I'd stumbled across it in the past, but I hadn't like really done a deep dive. So I'm so, so happy you're here. First thing is like, what was the moment you said it when you were talking to this guy, it had sold 100,000 copies at that point. What was the moment you realized this is really clicking with people?
Yeah, it was long before that. So the Miracle Morning, the quick origin story is 2008. I had built a coaching business. I had just left a very successful sales career. I sold Cutco cutlery, and I hit Hall of Fame with Cutco.
You and Rob Dial.
Yeah. Oh, dude, Rob's a good buddy of mine. I was his first coach. Yeah. Years ago. Yeah. So yeah, he hired me to help him sell more Cutco. Yeah. So yeah, crazy, right? Like small world. I was on Rob's podcast a few weeks ago. I love Rob. But I had left this career in sales, and then I was like, well, what am I qualified? Like, I want to start my own business. What can I do? Like, well, I've been successful in sales, so I just started coaching my former colleagues. And then that turned into coaching entrepreneurs and financial advisors, so on and so forth. And I built this from like $0 to $80,000 a year in my first couple of years. And then the economy crashes, and I crashed with it. It was just a nosedive. Like I lost over half of my clients, half of my income, couldn't pay the bills, started living on credit cards. I went from being debt-free to having $52,000 on my credit cards in 6 months. My house was foreclosed on, couldn't pay the mortgage. And I was depressed. I was a mess. And, you know, I was like late 20s and I was engaged, and it was like, I thought I was living the American dream. Like I'd bought the house. I finally had my successful business. And then now I'm moving back in with my dad, you know, like, right. So
what age? 28, 29.
28, 29, I think, somewhere in that
range.
You were
married?
Engaged.
Engaged.
And so, and I think my fiance we got pregnant while we were engaged. So she might've even been pregnant at that point. Right. And so
so the two of you go back to your dad's house.
So yeah. So the Miracle Morning came up before we had to move out, but that was like, okay, the house is going to be taken away in a matter of months. I don't know how long it's going to take for the bank to come and send the notice. Like you got to leave. Right. So I'm at like literally mentally and emotionally the lowest point in my life and financially for sure, which was why I was struggling mentally. And a friend of mine, I reached out for help. I'm like, dude, I haven't told anybody this. I'm like kind of keeping it to myself because I don't know how to deal with it, but I'm really struggling. I call my friend John Berghoff, and he advises me to listen to a Jim Rohn audio. Wow. I'm like, will this teach me how to make more money and get out of debt? And he's like, no, it'll teach you how to become the person that you need to be to get out of debt and to make, you know, and change every part of your life. He's like, this changed my life when I was younger.
Isn't it interesting also to interject really quickly? When you gave the truth out to your friend, you got something in return that you needed.
Yeah. Yeah. When I stopped being suffering in silence, right? Stop. If you're listening to this and you're suffering in silence, don't. You're not complaining. Just you're being vulnerable. When you're vulnerable, people feel drawn to help you, especially those that love you.
Yes.
Thank you for highlighting that. Yeah. And so I listened to this Jim Rohn audio and I'm like begrudging. I'm like, this is so stupid. I need to get on the phone and like get some clients. Like, why am I listening to this personal growth audio? And Jim Rohn says a quote, a single quote, that was the catalyst for the Miracle Morning and for changing my life faster than I ever thought possible. In fact, we'll get to this in a second, but I doubled my income in 2 months in the Great Depression or the Great Recession.
Right.
The worst economy because of this quote. Jim Rohn said, your level of success, and by the way, this is true in every area of life, however you define success, your health, your fulfillment, your relationships, your level of success will seldom exceed your level of personal development. And when I heard that, I immediately quantified it. And I said, okay, well, wait a minute. What level of success do I want? On a scale of 1 to 10, I want 10. I think that's innate within all of us. We want to be as happy and healthy and financially secure as we possibly can be. So I want level 10 success. But if my level of success is not going to exceed my level of personal development, well, the next question is, what's my level of personal development? And at that time in my life, it was a two or a three. And let me define what that is. It's who are you becoming? What's the mindset you're developing every day? What are the habits, the skills, the knowledge you are nurturing, acquiring? Who are you becoming? To me, that is your level of personal development. And at that time in my life, I was scared. I was depressed. I was getting hopeless month by month as I continued to go into debt. And I went, my level of personal development's at a two or a three, and I want this level 10 success. I see the disconnect. I need to, and the epiphany was, I need to go figure out what the world's most successful people do for personal development. And I need to create the most like effective personal development daily ritual so that I can become the level 10 version of myself that's capable of creating that level 10 success that I want. And so I went home. I had been on a run when I heard this audio, and I Googled just phrases like, what do the world's most successful people do for personal development? What do millionaires do for their personal, right? I was just trying to like gauge the best practice. And I ended up, I'm taking notes, and I ended up with a list of six practices. And I got overwhelmed. I'm like, why? Like, I can't do all of these. Which one's the best? And there was no like clear winner. It was like one article says, you know, these Fortune 500 CEOs swear by their meditation. And then I watched an Ellen DeGeneres video where she interviewed Will Smith. Now, this was pre-Chris Rock slap Will Smith. So different connotation when you said his name. But she said, you have the number one movie at the box office. You have one of the top TV shows. You got a platinum selling album right now. You were a middle-class kid in Philly. How did you become so successful in everything that you do? And he said, affirmations. I created affirmations when I was 15 years old that articulated what I wanted for my life, who I needed to become to create it, and what I needed to do to become that person. And I was like, God, that makes so much sense. So I'm looking at these six practices and I'm overwhelmed. I'm like, I don't know which ones I should do or which one. And the light bulb moment is I went, wait, what if I did all of them? What if I woke up tomorrow 30 minutes, 60 minutes earlier, even though I wasn't a morning person? And I did the six most timeless, proven personal development practices that the world's most successful people have sworn by for centuries. I go, that would be the ultimate, you could say, level 10 personal development ritual to become the level 10 person I need to be to create the level 10 success that I want in my life. And that night I Googled, like, how do you meditate? How do you do affirmations? How to visualize? Because I didn't know how to do most of these things. I woke up the next morning. I did all six practices, pretty subpar, like I was new to this stuff. But even at that first morning, I did a full hour and I was like, this is it. If I start every day with this much clarity and energy and I'm gaining confidence and hope again, and fast forward 2 months later, I signed on my two clients for the day. I went to my wife, my fiance at the time, Ursula, and I said, sweetheart, I just signed on two clients today. She goes, oh, congratulations. And I said, no, you don't understand. We've doubled our income since I started, in 2 months, since I started that morning ritual. I goes, it feels like a freaking miracle. And she goes, it's your miracle morning. And I go, I like that, miracle morning. But it wasn't a book idea. I just wrote miracle morning. Then I taught it to my coaching clients. Most of them were like, I'm not a morning person. They go, neither was I. And I gave them like the stuff I teach in the book on how to beat the snooze button. And 13 out of 14 of them came back next week and go, Hal, I had the best week in my sales career. I'm crushing it. I'm exercising. Like, this miracle morning, it works. And that's when I realized if it worked for them and it worked for me and none of us were morning people, this could change anybody's life. And I started writing the book and, you know, and the rest is kind of history, if you will.
It's like you're a channel.
I believe that. I really don't take credit for it. To me, it's co-creation. Like, I actually, it's funny. I just saw in my bio somewhere, it says creator of the miracle morning. And I'm like, I want to write co-creator because I do believe that I don't know where ideas come from, but they're from the ethos, from God, from, you know, from higher consciousness, from collective intelligence, right? I mean, I don't know. So yeah, but I'm with you.
So where do ideas come from?
Yeah, I don't know. The thing is, so often, like when I give a speech, that's my, you know, writing is my job because it's hard, but speaking is my passion because I love it, right? Yeah. You know, getting on stages. And the way I prep for a speech, I mean, I do my research and stuff, but before I go on stage, I go, God, fill me with the words and the energy that the people in front of me need to receive this message, whatever it ends up being, and transform their lives. Like, I have no script. You know, I've got a general, I'm going to teach them the miracle morning. I'm going to tell them a few stories. But I'm no longer blown away, but how many times I say something that I've never said before, I have no idea where it came from, right? I'm like, that's not in my subconscious because I don't even know that. Where did that come from? And it ends up being, I'll often say to the audience, I'm like, can somebody like Instagram me what I just said, like, or write it down and hand it to me? Because I'm like, I need to remember that because that was profound. So
someone's listening to this right now and they want to say, how do I tap into that? Mm. What do you tell them to do?
Honestly, it sounds biased, but the Miracle Morning.
Right.
So, for anybody listening, I'm going to help you really understand this. There's an acronym. The Miracle Morning is made up of an acronym, six practices known as the SAVERS, S-A-V-E-R-S. The first S is for silence. That's your meditation or your prayer time, or both. For me, it's both. The A is for affirmations, and we can unpack each of these or some of them, but the A is for affirmations, and I'd love to unpack that one for sure because the way I teach it is very different than I think most people know it. The V is for visualization. And if you look at the world's most successful athletes, they swear by visualization. They mentally rehearse showing up at their best before they step onto the court. And I believe we should do that where we step into our day. The E in SAVERS is for exercise. And it doesn't mean you have to go to the gym in the morning, but you should at least do 60 seconds of jumping jacks, get the blood to your brain, take that brain fog off from, you know, the grogginess of waking up and get the blood flowing to your body so you wake yourself up and you have more energy for the day. The R in SAVERS is for reading. Right. And, you know, you read 5 pages a day. I mean, you're going to learn things that you can transform your marriage, your health, your finances, et cetera. And the final S is for scribing, which is a fancy word for writing or journaling. Right. But there's magic that happens when you get those thoughts out of your head, whether they're stressful thoughts that you need to release, put them on paper and go, I don't have to think about, I don't need to worry about those. They're there when I need them. I can look at them. I can reflect, or the grateful thoughts. In fact, for me, it's both, right? But it's like, write it down. Now you see it. You're like, wow, I am so grateful for my wife. I'm so great, right? Really feeling it. And to your point, how do you get those insights? So I would start at the beginning with silence. And I talk about, you know, the value of peaceful, purposeful, intentional silence and actually installing it into your day versus letting it just randomly be there. And the problem is our smartphones have taken that away from us. Like they used to be built into our day, right? Like, you know, standing in line, you didn't have a phone to look at, you know, riding on a train or a bus, right? You didn't have a phone to look at on your bedside table, right? When you woke up in the morning, the first 5 or 10 minutes might just be sitting there in silence. And you're like, oh, what a great idea that just came to me in silence. Whether it comes from your subconscious, from God, wherever it comes from. But we only hear the most profound, life-changing ideas when there is peaceful, purposeful silence to hear them. But if we reach for our phone first thing in the morning, whether it doesn't have to be auditory sound, right? It's just visual stimulation. You don't hear anything. And we usually, from the moment we wake up till we go to bed, we are overstimulated and we're missing out on that silence, which is crucial.
Okay, so take me to the affirmations piece that you wanted to...
Yeah. So I'll start with the problems with affirmations. I think that affirmations have a bad rap because they've been mistaught by, I don't know, well-meaning self-help gurus or whomever teaches them. Two problems. Number one is that we're taught to lie to ourselves until we believe it. So for example, if you're struggling financially, you might be taught, well, oh, you know, just create an affirmation that says, I am wealthy. And just say it over and over and over until you believe it. The problem is we know the truth, right? We know our truth. And if your bank account balance is not where you want it to be or it's negative, right? You know you're not financially wealthy, which is, right? So when you say, I am wealthy, now you're creating an internal conflict that's unhealthy, right? It's like, I am wealthy. And then your subconscious goes, dude, no, you're not. And you're like, shut up. I'm doing my affirmations that the guy told me online, right? So the truth will always prevail. Lying to yourself is never the optimal strategy. The second problem is we're taught to create these affirmations with this flowery, passive language that promises a magical result independent of any effort. A very popular one is, I am a money magnet. Money flows to me effortlessly and in abundance, right? Now, that's a popular affirmation, and I believe my theory as to why that actually is still an affirmation that people will do is it gives you temporary relief from your money woes. It's kind of like taking a shot of tequila or taking an antidepressant, right? If you look at your phone and you're looking at your bank account balance, you're like, oh man, I'm negative again. I need to do my affirmations because the reality of my life stresses me out. I put the phone down and I'm going to close my eyes and I'm going to say, I'm a money magnet. Oh, that feels better. That feels good. Money is going to flow into my life effortlessly and in abundance. Oh, thank God that that's going to happen because that's so much better than this reality I'm dealing with. But the problem is that's not how money works, right? You don't sit back and, you know, I'm sure there might be some merit to that. I don't know, but I'm not going to bank on telling myself I'm a money magnet and that that's going to turn my, I need to get clear on, okay, how much income do I want to generate? Mm-hmm. How can I add value to my workplace, the marketplace, right? What am I going to do to generate the income? So those are the two fallacies of affirmations. Here are three really specific steps to create affirmations that will produce results. Because yes, I want to feel better, but I want to do better. I want to see results. If I affirm bank or financial affirmations, I want it to help me generate more income, not just temporarily feel better. Step one, affirm what you're committed to, right? So instead of saying, I am wealthy, say, I'm committed to becoming wealthy. No matter what, there is no other option. Or I'd say, get more specific. I'm committed to increasing my income by 50% this year. No matter what, there is no other option, right?
So much more powerful.
Yeah, it's I'm committed to blank in whatever your blank is. And by the way, the formula that I'm teaching you right now, I have this for every one of my goals. So I am committed to blank no matter what, there's no other option. As a husband, in my finances, in my fitness, in my health, in every area and every role of my life, I follow these three steps. I'm committed to blank no matter what, there's no other option. Number two, affirm why it's a must for you, right? And this is where you fuel your motivation, if you will, to do what you need to do, when you need to do it, whether you feel like it or not. Because if the reasons that you write down are so important to you, right? Why are you doing it? Who are you doing it for? And I'll give you, remind me if I forget, I want to give you an example of how I used this formula to literally save my life a few years ago. So step two, why is it a must for you? And for me, I usually have like, not just one reason, but I've got 3, 4, 5, you know, these are the reasons I'm doing it for myself, for my wife, for my kids. And then step three, affirm which specific actions you'll take and when you will take them. And that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where like, okay, if you're only clear on the first two steps, that's not necessarily enough because, okay, I know what I'm committed to and why I'm committed. But if you don't clarify, well, in order to follow through with that commitment, I'm going to do these things on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 8 a.m., right? And so those are affirmations that are rooted in truth, that reinforce your commitment, that remind you why you're doing the things you're doing and why you're committed to get there, and then totally clarify what you need to do to get there. I mean, it's the perfect formula. And so I'm going to pause there and any thoughts, questions, and then remind me to, I'll share that form or how I used it.
Yeah, please. I'm curious about, like, that sounds like a lot. Like, what does it actually look like in practice?
Okay, perfect segue. I've used this for my, you know, that affirmations formula is how I sold 2 million copies of The Miracle Morning, right? I'm committed to changing 1 million lives one morning at a time, no matter what, there's no other option.
Oh, wow.
That was my mission when I published the book.
And do you put that anywhere? Like, where's that?
It's printed out.
It's printed out.
So my affirmations are written in Microsoft Word, right? Because it's a living document. Like, as I learn and grow and evolve, I'm always adding to my affirmations. So they're in Word, but I print them out. And I have them, I do a Miracle Morning every morning in front of my coffee table, right? And in the front room of our house. And I've got my affirmations there. I've got the book I'm reading. I've got the journal that I'm writing in, right? I've got everything in there. So I read them. And then whenever I, like, let's say I'll be reading a book and I'm like, I'll read a quote and I'll go, oh my God, that is totally in alignment with what I need to be remembering or thinking or doing to reach my goal. And then I'll write that with pencil on my affirmations. And then once that page gets messy enough, I go back into Microsoft Word and now I update it, right? So in 2016, I woke up in the middle of the night and struggling to breathe. And the next day I went to the ER. I'd sleep up like sitting up on pillows. I could barely breathe. And they drained 2 liters of fluid from my lung and they didn't know what was wrong. And they said, if you don't get better, you know, go get a second opinion in the next couple of days. Well, 2 days later, I couldn't breathe and I had to go get another 1.5 liters of fluid drain from my lung. After 11 days of having my lung drained every other day in the ER and going to multiple doctors, they finally discovered a very rare form of cancer called acute lymphoblastic leukemia. It's a blood cancer and it attacks your organs. And when they discovered it, they found, oh, not only is your lung collapsing every other day, your heart is on the verge of failing and your kidneys are failing. And if you don't start chemo, we're going to give you 1 to 3 weeks. You have 1 to 3 weeks to live before all of your organs shut down and you die. And that's common. That's how fast this cancer kills people. Now at this time I had a 7-year-old daughter and a 4-year-old son. And so to be told that I had a 70 to 80% chance of dying, right? If I only have a 20 to 30% chance of surviving. And that was my best odds if I started chemo, right? So I always say it's like a financial advisor saying, hey, trust me with your money. And there's only a 70 to 80% chance that I'm going to lose all of it, right? So it's like, and the thing is, right, the side effects of the chemo, like most people died from the chemo. So it was this really difficult decision. I ended up doing it. I also decided to do every holistic practice that I could possibly find to combat the effects of the chemo. So how do I detox my liver? How do I build my immune system, right? So it was, I'm going to take a 2-prong approach. I'm not going to just trust my life with the doctor because their odds are terrible. I'm going to also take my life into my own hands. And because also I'm just a number for them, right? They lose some patients, right? So my life does not matter to them the way it matters to me and my family. So I decided I'm taking 100% responsibility for surviving. And I realized that my miracle morning may be the thing that saves my life because these 6 practices, I'm going to align all of them with beating cancer. I'm going to meditate in a state of complete healing every single morning. I'm going to follow the 3-step formula, which I'm going to give you how it played out here, because that's your question. My affirmations, how I'll be committed to beating cancer, I'm going to do that. I'm going to visualize every day my body healed and walking my daughter down the aisle and seeing my son at graduation, right? I'm going to visualize the future to tell my body, hey, we are here to heal. We are not giving up. We are not dying. I'm going to exercise every day because there's physical benefits, obviously, to healing with exercise. I'm going to read books on holistic approaches to beating cancer every single day. And I'm going to use my journaling to align my thoughts with what I need to think to keep moving forward and beat this cancer. Focusing in on the affirmations piece. So step 1, affirm what you're committed to. So my affirmations read, I am committed to beating cancer and living to be 100 plus years old alongside Ursula and the kids. No matter what, there is no other option. And Danny, when I first was diagnosed with cancer, I was scared naturally, especially because of the odds. I thought, what if I do everything right and I still die? I could not shake that. What if? Well, I gotta think for my kids. I need to make sure my will's in order. So it was like, I couldn't not think about the possibility of dying because I had logistical responsibilities to do for my family in case I died, yes. Right? So it was like, I couldn't shake that. But I realized that fear was overtaking me and that common sense, I'll tell you, right? Fear hurts your body. It does. That's not a recipe for healing. So the affirmations formula, I believe, saved my life because every time I felt the fear, I would read the affirmation. Step 1, I am committed to beating cancer no matter what and living to be 100 plus years old alongside Ursula and the kids. There is no other option. And I would say it over and over and over with such conviction every day, in the morning, during the day, at night, whenever I felt fear. And I'm telling you, and this is true for anybody, we all have fear to reach any goal that we have. Whether your goal is I want to earn more money or I want to write a book or start a business or find the love of my life. There's always fear in that commitment, right? But when I read it with such conviction every day, within a matter of weeks, the fear literally disappeared.
Do you remember the moment it disappeared?
No, because it was very gradual. Hmm. It was so gradual that I didn't even notice it until I looked back and I'm like, oh, I don't even feel afraid anymore. Wow. Like I remember I was afraid in the beginning. I'm not afraid anymore. And it's like literally the idea of dying wasn't even a thought at that point. I had replaced fear with unwavering faith. And it's because I affirmed it every single day. It wasn't a one-time event. It wasn't like I read the affirmation once and I'm like, oh, I'm not afraid anymore. It was like condition. It's just like physical conditioning, but it's mental conditioning, emotional conditioning, spiritual conditioning. To me, that's what the Miracle Morning helps you do, is it enables you to wake up every day and start your day in a peak physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual state. And doing that once feels good for the day, but it doesn't change who you are. Doing that every day or 5 or 6 days a week for months changes who you are at a fundamental level. You replace fear with faith. You replace hopelessness with hope, just like in 2008, right? I replaced the hopelessness of, I don't know how to turn my finances around, to, I'm going to do it. I have, you know, I'm committed no matter what. There's no other option. The second step, this is so crucial. Why is it a must for me? I had 5 reasons. I'm committed to beating cancer for Ursula, my wife, because I promised her forever and a day. I'm committed to beating cancer for Sophia and Halston, because they need their daddy's love and guidance throughout their life, and I want to watch them grow up. I'm committed to beating cancer for my mom and dad because they already lost a child. My sister died when I was 8. I said, I'm committed to beating cancer for my mom and dad because they already lost a child and they do not deserve to lose another one. Number 4, I'm committed to beating cancer for myself because I deserve to live a long, happy, healthy life. And last but not least, I'm committed to beating cancer for the millions of people who are themselves battling cancer or some other disease and may not have the knowledge and resources that I do. And I have a responsibility to heal myself so that I can help them on their healing journey. I read those 5 reasons every single day, at least once, usually multiple times a day. And they were so meaningful for me, as they will be for you, whoever you are listening to this. Whatever your goals are, why do you want to increase your income? Why do you want to improve your health? Who are you doing it for? Why are you doing it for you, for them, etc.? They were so meaningful that was the fuel that because I was so sick, I did 650 hours of chemotherapy. Because the cancer is so aggressive, they hit it with one of the hardest, if not the hardest, chemotherapy regimens that there is. I was sick. I was on death's doorway. I was in the ER repeatedly, multiple times a month, with 104-degree fever, no immune system to fight it. I had lost 25% of my body weight. Like, I was on death's doorway for 7 months. And there were so many times where if I didn't have those reasons, if I didn't have a wife and kids, I would have died. But I reinforced, no, I'm committed because of these reasons, and for my parents and for my wife and for my kids. And last but not least was for myself, because I was like, I don't know if I can do this, but I can do it for them. I can do it for her. I can do it for my mom and dad. And I really believe that saved my life. And those reasons, and last, and I'll close this quickly, but step 3, which actions are you committed to taking and when? I said, I'm committed to doing the chemotherapy that my doctor is prescribing, but rather than be afraid that it could kill me, because I was, I am going to maintain unwavering faith that my body is strong enough to survive the chemo, where the chemo will kill the cancer, but I will survive and I will be alive at the end of this. And that's the first thing I'm committed to, but I'm also committed to relentlessly researching every holistic practice known to man and implementing all of it. And I took 70 supplements a day. I juiced organic fruits and vegetables. I had, you know, I improved my diet. I exercised every day. I did 3 coffee enemas a week, which, if you don't know what that is, Google it. It's very uncomfortable. But I did it 3 times a week. I did lymphatic massage. I did ozone sauna. I did and these were all things, by the way, that when I asked my doctor, hey, how important is diet? Oh, it doesn't matter. Just do the chemotherapy. Doesn't matter. Nothing else matters, he said, as long as you do the chemo. And so if I hadn't taken responsibility for my health, I do not believe that I would be here. And I think the Miracle Morning played a huge role in saving my life.
Oh my God. Dude, thank you for sharing the story.
Yeah, no, man, you're welcome.
I just want to, like, one, thank you for your commitment to yourself and to your body and mind, and for your children, and for just everything you're doing is, like, it's coming from such a deep and pure place. And I could feel it, like, even just sitting down across from you. I want to start doing the Miracle Morning tomorrow because of the genuine and the authenticity of where it's coming from, is what I feel. So when was the moment you got better?
So the doctors, you know, I was technically, they call it in remission, which is where it's a certain measurement of like, you know, you have more healthy cells now than cancer cells. I think I could be wrong, but it's something like that where they're like, we call this in remission. And again, I was so against the chemotherapy because I had done the research and it's like, dude, this is poisoning my body. I mean, one of my nurses told me, she was like a 27-year veteran nurse, been around a long time. And she's like, Hal, I'll be real with you. The goal here is the cancer is the chemotherapy is killing the cancer and it's killing you at the same time. And our goal is that it kills the cancer before it kills you. Oh my God. And then we try to rebuild you, you know? She's like, I'm gonna be totally honest with you, you know? And so they told me I was in remission after a couple of months. And I'm like, or after, yeah, I think 1 or 2 months, they go, oh, you're in remission. Your count is blah, blah, blah. I said, great, so I'm done with chemo. They go, no. There's still, we need to do the chemo for the whole 7 months. And I was like, I don't want to do, and I like every day I prayed about it and I meditated and I kept getting this message like, Hal, stop the chemo. And then I would go to my family and I would go, guys, I really want to stop the chemo. And they, you know, my parents were terrified of losing me. My wife's terrified. And there was like, for them, they had no other hope, but like, well, this is the only thing that might save you. You know, so it was like this huge internal conflict of, I'm like, I'm getting this message, like me, my intuition is saying, stop the chemo and double down on all the holistic practices. But everyone in my life, you know, and, you know, I don't know to say I wasn't strong enough, right? I don't know what it was, but right, I'm like, I don't know. I got it, maybe, because what if I stop the chemo and then I do die? And my mom and dad are, you know, like, what if I make the wrong decision? And not to mention, when you're that sick from chemo, like, you know, you're not thinking straight. And so it's like, you're not at your best mentally and emotionally. So I kept doing the chemo and I did it for 3 years. You do 7 months of this intensive 750 hours of chemo or 650 hours. And then you're on a maintenance chemo, which is like once a month you in for an injection, you're taking a chemo pill every day, you're taking steroids, like it's horrible stuff. And after roughly 3 years, I stopped like one night. I was preparing for a live event that I was running with 500 people counting on me the next day. And I slept like 2 hours that night. And I was like, what? This is not the night to sleep 2 hours, man. I've got to go in front of 500 people today. And that was the start of a chronic sleep deprivation that lasted for almost 6 months, where I slept for an average of 2 to 4 hours a night. And what chemotherapy did to my brain, and I'll try not to get too deep into this, but it just devastated my brain. They call it chemo brain, which pisses me off because it's like a dismissal. The doctor goes, oh, that's just chemo brain. Everybody has that. I'm like, screw you, dude. How about you poison your brain for 3 years? And like, I couldn't think straight. My cognitive function was, I felt like my IQ dropped like 50 points. I couldn't remember things. And to this day, by the way, sitting across from you now, 6 years later, or 3 years after I ended the chemo, like I'm not the same. I feel like my heart's the same. My brain is not the same as it was. I can't, and it's every day is a struggle because of that. But anyway, the answer to your question, when did I get healthy? I finally, after 6 months of sleeplessness, and I kept texting the doctor, when can I get off chemo? He's like, just keep doing it. And I would email him, the doc. And I finally email him. I go, doc, I'm suicidal. My life's great and I'm suicidal because my brain's not working. When can I get off the chemo? And he said, Hal, I want you to take it as long as you can handle it. And that's actually when I responded to the email and I go, doc, I can't handle it. I'm suicidal. My marriage is falling apart because I'm not who I used to be. And I said, I can't handle it. I'm done. And he responded, well, I don't advise that, you know, but it's your choice. And this was May of 2020, which, not to mention, the world's falling apart at this point, right? Like there's enough collective stress, you know, which probably wasn't helping with my sleeplessness. But I developed anxiety and on and on and on. And So that's the day that I say I started to get better. Like I don't count the day the doctor said you're in remission because I kept poisoning myself for 3 years. But the day, that's the day. And I was scared. Like, what if, you know, because the relapse rate, if that cancer comes back, your survival rate goes down to like 4% or something. You don't quote me on that, but it's very grim. So it was like, am I making the right decision? But I prayed about it. I meditated. And it was like the universe said, you should have made this decision 2 years ago, but now is better than never. And so I, against doctor's orders, I got off chemo, and that was 3.5 years ago. I'm the healthiest I've ever been physically, you know, I shouldn't say ever, because before chemo I was probably healthier, but you know, there's lasting effects from that, you know, my bone density and all this stuff. But since having cancer, I, you know, my diet's damn near impeccable. My daily rituals, my bedtime, my miracle morning, my putting family first as much as I possibly can. I try to really live in alignment with my values. And so, yeah, May of 2020, that was like my day that I say, this is the day that I'm actually going to focus on really, really being healthy and rebuilding the damage that's been done over the last 3 years.
Wow. Wow. What came to mind for me was this idea of, like, we feel so comfortable giving away our own authority.
Yeah.
And when you think about your family and your wife and like they're saying, get the chemo. The doctor knows best. The doctor knows better than you.
Yeah.
And we've been told, and their intentions were pure, I believe. But it's like, we've been told since we were young, someone else has the power over you.
Trust
over
the government. Trust the police. Trust
the teacher.
Trust the teacher. Yeah.
Right?
We've been indoctrinated, really, right? You know.
So how do we start thinking for ourselves?
Yeah.
Thinking for ourselves and acting on our own intuition.
Yeah.
And trusting it.
Yeah.
Because those 2 years, you knew the answer in some sense, or felt like you did.
Yeah.
It's like, how do we get back to that place quicker?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think there's intuition is a very, it's a hard thing to grab onto, because you're like, wait, is that voice intuition? Is it God? Is it my fears?
Yep.
Is it subconscious programming from the external world, right? It's a challenging thing. And to me, I would go back to the miracle morning. It's the times in silence, right? That's when you hear your intuition. That's when you get to listen to it, right? It can also be in silence and scribing, right? So the first S in savers is silence. The last S is scribing. When you do free writing and you just let it, you don't try to think. And so for me, I like to meditate and then scribe, right? And so it's like I get in a peaceful state. I follow my breath. I clear my mind. And then we get into scribing. And then I just write without any, like, I will often start with, I don't know what I'm going to write today, but I trust that my intuition will power the words that are about to come out. Like, I'll start with that to set the intention that whatever is supposed to come through me is going to come through me. And I'll set a timer for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever, and I'll just write, you know? I'll go, well, what's feeling good today? It just comes out. And usually, almost always, in the gibberish and the things I write, there's one really profound insight that resonates as true that I can act on. And as you do this every day, it's like anything that you do every day. You get better at it and better at it and better at it. You get better at trusting your intuition, because consistently the same messages will come through, or a message will come through that you go, oh yeah. And it might even be a message that you actually knew it 2 years ago and you didn't act on it then. And you're like, oh, that's been stored in my subconscious deep down. Now's the time to finally do something about it. So that, for me, it's through daily practice that you learn, you hear your intuition, because you're sitting in silence for, you know, a few minutes, and you get better and better and better at hearing it. And then you start acting on it, and then you start seeing results from that. And it's this sequencing of, you know, the affirmation or the silence, and then the affirmations, and then visualizing what you need to do today to be at your best, and then doing that thing, and then write it, and then reading and learning something new, and then applying it and describe it. Like, all these savers kind of work interconnected to produce really profound results. And I'll share something that Robert Kiyosaki told me when he interviewed me. So Robert Kiyosaki, for those that don't know who that is, he's the author of one of the best-selling books of all time, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which I think is over 30 million copies sold.
Wow.
I got to speak at an event that Robert spoke at. He was the headliner. I was the warm-up act. And I got to join him and the founders of the event at a dinner afterwards. And I had brought a copy of The Miracle Morning. This was like 2015, like 8 years ago. And I brought a copy of the book. It was like on my lap under the table. And I was like getting up the courage to give it to him, because I'm in my head, I'm like, oh, he's not, I'm going to look like a, like I'm desperate. Like, I don't want to bother him. Like, he doesn't, he's worth like $80 million. I don't think he needs my little cell. I think he's doing okay. He doesn't need my book, right? And Wayne Gretzky enters my mind and I hear his quote, "You miss all the shots you don't take, Al." Mm. I'm like, damn, oh, he's right. I got to, even if he throws the book in the trash, like no harm in giving it to him, right? He doesn't know who I am right now. So I hand him the book and I expect that he's not going to read it. 3 weeks later, I get an email from his assistant. And she says, "Robert has read The Miracle Morning 3 times. And yeah, my jaw hit. I'm like, he's read my book 3 times in the last, and maybe it was a month, but it was like a few weeks. I go, that's crazy. And she said, "He's doing The Miracle Morning almost every day. It is changing his life and he wants to have you on the podcast," right? And I mean, I read his book like probably 5 years prior and it's one of my favorite books. I'm like, this is surreal. So I go on Rich Dad Radio on his podcast and he's so passionate, more passionate than I am. Like, he keeps cutting me off and going, "Everybody listening, pause this, go buy The Miracle Morning right now." Like, he just keeps telling his audience, like, you have to do it. It'll change your life. But we get to the end of the interview and he says something that I have never thought myself. He says, "Hal, I want to tell you," and I'm paraphrasing, I don't remember the exact wording, but he said, "You named the book correctly, The Miracle Morning, because before you wrote the book, every successful person on the planet swears by at least one of the savers. Maybe some of them do 2 or 3, but," he said, "I've never met anyone," he said, "myself included, that did all 6 of these ancient best practices as part of their daily routine." He said, "You putting these together was brilliant." He said, "If any one of the savers will change your life, and they will, all 6 of them will create miracles in your life. You named the book correctly." And so I forgot what your question was.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Right. And so, so that's the point, is these 6, and I'll say this about the savers, like to put a bow on this, if you're wondering like, well, what order do I do them in? Or do I have to do them in the morning? Or do I have to do all of, like, these are all questions that I get asked. So let me handle the first one. Do you have to do them in the morning? No, but yes. And the reason is the benefits of meditating benefit you throughout the day. It calms your mind. You gain clarity that you can apply for the day. The benefits of reading your affirmations in the morning are you reinforce your commitment. You get clear on why it's a commitment, which reinforces your, you know, how you feel toward it and how committed you are. And then you remind yourself, and this is what I'm going to do and when I'm going to do it. Like, you don't want to wait until the end of the day to benefit from all of the savers. Visualization, you visualize yourself doing the thing you need to do today and put yourself in a peak state. Obviously I walk you through how to do all of these things in the book, but you visualize yourself doing the most important thing on your to-do list today. You put yourself in a peak state so that you overcome the resistance to doing that thing. You don't want to wait till the afternoon and miss out on the benefits of that, right? Same thing with reading, journaling. You clarify your thoughts, all of these things. Doing them in the morning is crucial. The order doesn't matter. Like, some people say, "Hal, if I meditate first thing, like I'll fall asleep in my chair, you know, like I'm half asleep still." So they'll do 60 seconds of jumping jacks first thing. Now, okay, all right, okay, I'm awake, right? And now they do the rest of this. So you play with the order. And then as far as you have to do all of them, no and yes again. I always, like in the Miracle Morning book, when you read the book, it culminates in a 30-day Miracle Morning journey. I used to call it the 30-day challenge, but one of my team members said, "Hal, people got enough challenges. This is really a journey. It's not like a 30-day challenge, then you're done. This is like a 30-day journey that leads to the rest of your life." I mean, Danny, I've done the Miracle Morning since 2008, an average of probably 6.3 days a week. I do it almost every day. And people ask, I was asked once in an interview, "Why do you still do it? Like, you created this because you were at rock bottom and it turned your life around. Well, why do you still do it?" And I said, that's actually a good question. I said, well, because to me, it's about fulfilling my potential, and that's limitless. On my deathbed, I can still learn more. I can still contribute more. I can still grow more, right? So for me, I'm going to do it forever. And it every day is better when I do it. Like, I started out doing it only, and this is another question I get, do I have to do it every, like, is this a Monday through Friday thing? Almost every, you can go to the Miracle Morning community. It's a Facebook group with 350,000 people. And this question gets asked all the time. "Hey, how many days a week do you do your Miracle Morning? I'm new," right? And almost everyone, and this is my same answer, they go, "I started out Monday through Friday, and then I wake up on Saturday hours later, and I didn't feel as good as I felt on the days I did the Miracle Morning. So then I would do it on Saturday, and I go, oh, I feel great." And most people go from 5 days a week to six and sometimes seven. I'm usually seven unless I get like a late night. But start out 5 days a week and you'll figure it out. You'll go, okay, when I don't do the miracle morning, I'm missing out on the benefit. So I'm just going to do it more often than not. Right. Forgot what the other piece was. But anyway, so those are the savers, right? You can do them in any order. You can there's a chapter in the book called Customizing the Miracle Morning to Fit Your Lifestyle, yeah. Right? So you, like, if someone the other day told me, they said they're like a shift worker and they work till like 3 a.m, they wake up at noon. They said, I've been doing the Miracle Morning for like 3 years. I do it almost every day, but it starts at 12 p.m. because that's when I wake up, right? You know, so it's very customizable for your lifestyle. Last thing I'll say is there's a chapter in the book called The 6-Minute Miracle Morning. And I don't recommend that that's your daily practice because you can't go deep in 6 minutes, you know? Mm-hmm. But on days when you're pressed for time, it's a simple, structured, here's how you do 1 minute of silence, 1 minute of affirmations, and literally in 6 minutes, my experience is you can get like 60 to 70% of the benefits of a 30-minute or 60-minute miracle morning, but that way it's not an all or nothing pursuit where even on the fly, even when you're in the car, like you can do the miracle morning in the car or on the train, right? Like in a hotel room. So anyway, yeah.
I love it so much. And I also want to point out that it seems like as someone who doesn't practice it, but is wants to very, going to start tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's like, this is not just about making money. This is about feeling good and living good in a life, in a body and mind that you actually are happy with.
Totally.
Because I think, you know, I heard Alex Hormozi, love him, been on the podcast, episode 377. He's like, you don't need the morning routines. You don't need, and it's like, yes, you don't need it to make money or whatever, but this is about feeling good in your body and mind.
Yeah.
That was what I was thinking about as you were talking there.
Yeah. To me, it's starting your day at your best.
Yeah.
So that you can be at your best for the people you love,
yes,
and the people you lead. Yes. And the first person that you love and lead should be you, right? But I mean, that's really it. So to me, like when I started the Miracle Morning, it was a selfish pursuit, meaning like I'm struggling financially and I need to turn this around.
Right.
So I need to do something different. I'm going to start my day in a peak state. I'm going to focus, like the book I was reading in the beginning was called Book Yourself Solid on Getting More Clients, right? So in the beginning, my Miracle Morning was focused on making more money and I doubled my income in the middle of the Great Recession. Right. And I've been for the last 15 years since that happened. I know that recessions happen in cycles and I've been going, wow, when the next recession happens, I'm really going to like really focus on that part of the story. Because up until the Great Recession, when the Great Recession happened, up until the Miracle Morning, I blamed the recession for why I was struggling financially. Wow. And to your point, right? That's a similar thing of giving away our authority to an outside force.
Yes.
It's my fault. My business is failing because of the recession. I lost over half of my clients in 2008 because of the recession. But when I did my first Miracle Morning, I went, wait a minute, how about I'll become the person that can thrive in the middle of the Great Recession? That's what I'm committed to. And now it's my Miracle Morning's not just about me. It's how can I use it to become the dad that my kids deserve, and to become the husband that my wife deserves, and to become the leader that humanity deserves, right? Like the Miracle Morning is about becoming my best, yes, for myself, but in service of others. And yeah, to me, it's crucial. Everybody wakes up and how you start your day sets the tone, the context, and the direction for who you are, how you show up for the rest of the day.
Oh man, it's so powerful. I love this conversation because there's the micro actions of like what you can actually do, but then it also appears like you're tapped into the macro of like what this means for humanity, since by virtue of you getting reflected by people in Korea or people in Brazil, it's like you're tapped into the day-to-day of your own self, yeah, your community, your world, but you're expanded to the whole entire globe. Why is this happening right now from a global perspective of people increasing their own consciousness?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big question, right? You know, the Miracle Morning, it's interesting because I didn't invent morning routines,
yeah,
right? And I think that now more than ever, let me back up and put it this way. In 2020, when the pandemic hit, right? In the beginning, no one knew how bad it was. No, right? Nobody knew. You're just like, wait, is this like the plague and we're all going to die, right? I don't know. And I was coming off cancer, so I was immunocompromised. I was a high risk person for the flu. Anything could kill me, right? And so I started, the first question I asked is, okay, like, all right, a lot of craziness going on. And I, you know, in my miracle morning, being quiet, doing my scribing, it was, what should I be focusing on right now? And what I realized is that when we focus on that which is out of our control, we feel out of control. And when we feel out of control, that causes stress and fear and anxiety, which leads to depression, right? And a lot of people, millions upon millions, if not billions, are experiencing anxiety, fear, stress, and depression in the last 3 years more than ever, yeah. Right? And so in the beginning, I went, okay, so when I focus on that which is out of my control, I feel out of control, which that doesn't serve me or anybody. I can't do that. I got to focus on what is in my control. And the problem is in 2020 and ever since then, that which is out of our control has been shoved in our face. It's all anybody talks about. It's the conversation is like, did you hear about this? This is going on. The government, this, that, right? And so I realized that the only thing that I can control is myself. And specifically, there's two sides of that coin. Number one is who I become every day. And the other side of the coin is how I show up every day. And of course, they are they're inseparable, that they're linked. Who I become determines how I show up. And the miracle, so then of course it went back to like, okay, so I need to double down on my miracle morning. Like that's all, I can't change the economy. I can't change what the government does. I can't change what other people do. Even in my own house, I'm not in control of people, right? You think about that. Think about even in your own marriage. When you focus on that which is out of your control, you feel out of control. So you focus on what other people are saying and doing and thinking, even online, you create fear and stress and anxiety. Oh, why are these people doing it? You can't control that. Stop it. So I realize I'm going to double down on my Miracle Morning. And as the leader of the Miracle Morning community, I do Facebook Lives, whatever. Hey guys, my podcast, everything. Focusing on what's out of our control is a waste of our energy, right? You pay attention, be mindful of what's going on, but don't live there. Focus inward on being the best version of yourself for the people you love, the people you lead, and you at the beginning of the day. And so that for me was it. And I think that people are hungry for a solution to feeling out of control. And they might not use those words. They might say, my mental health is a mess, dude, right? Or they might just say, hey, I am not happy, right? I mean, depending on what survey you look at, it's like only 14% of people, maybe this is just in America, say they're very happy, you know? I mean, it's
wow.
Very, you know, there's an unhappiness epidemic, there's a chronic stress, mental health epidemic, all of that. So I think that, I mean, that's the answer, is people are hungry for a solution. And, you know, the Miracle Morning didn't spread, it didn't reach millions. I didn't reach millions of people in other countries. I've never done a podcast in Portuguese in Brazil or in Spain, right? It's all word of mouth.
Yes, just a good idea.
Yeah, yeah. It's like people do the Miracle Morning. It immediately, they feel like my very first Miracle Morning, I felt incredible. Right. And then they share it with others. They're like, oh my gosh, you got to try this. I'll give you an example of how quickly this can change your life. I told you that I doubled my income in 2 months. So there's I don't know if you know this, but there's a Miracle Morning documentary. We made a movie. Everybody should watch it. You can go to miraclemorning.com. It's totally free. And you can rent it on Amazon Prime if you want to pay the $5 to watch on your TV, right? Or stream it from the computer. But miraclemorning.com, you can watch the movie. And it's a 90-minute documentary, and it features some amazing, you know, Robert Kiyosaki's in it, Mel Robbins, Brendan Burchard, Lewis Howes. There's a bunch of really well-known people that are sharing their morning routine. The reason I was sharing it, we featured people from the Miracle Morning community from around the world who had really profound transformations. One guy lost 80 pounds once he started the Miracle Morning. He had been obese his whole life. The person I wanted to mention, his name is Keith Minnick. And at the time when he discovered the Miracle Morning, he was the director of business development for Turner Home Broadcasting. I could be off on a piece of that, but very successful career. However, his son died. He died as a baby. I think he died after he was born, like 3 hours after he was born. And Keith went into a deep depression. And he had been depressed for about a year, and he had read books on grief and everything. And one of his friends said, hey, try this Miracle Morning. It's really helped my mindset, and it might help yours. And he was desperate. He said, I'll try anything. I'd have to paraphrase what he says, but I featured his story in the opening pages of the new book. And he said, depressed for a year, his very first Miracle Morning, he realized, wait, I'm in control of my mental and emotional state. I am in control of my mindset. And he says that his year-long depression went away, or again, I'm paraphrasing, you know, but after the first miracle morning he did. And now he's approaching his 10th year doing the miracle morning, and he still does it. And to me, and he talks about how it still helps him. You know, now it's different things. It's helped him start a business, and he has three businesses, I think. And the miracle morning got him to leave his career that he wasn't happy with and start his own business, right? So there were mental and emotional benefits. There were financial benefits. There were following his dream benefits, right? And I share his story because it's like he overcame depression in a day, right? And I can't make, that's like a medical claim, right? I'm just, this is his words, you know? And you can read the book for his exact quote. I know people are like, well, you can't say that. I'm just telling you, this is his story. But it had a profound transformation in a day, and it's still changing his life 10 years later. Right. And so it's an example of how this is a practice where it will transform your life quickly. Right. And that's not hyperbole. That's not some like snake oil salesman promise. It's like, no, millions of people will go to Amazon. There's 32,000 reviews. Go read 10 of them. Right. And you'll be like, oh my gosh, this really does change people's lives. And so, yeah. So, I mean, it's really been a gradual evolution, and the mission became elevating the consciousness of humanity one person, one morning at a time, because to me, that's what the miracle morning does. It elevates your consciousness by making you more aware and more intentional about how your thoughts, your words, and your actions are impacting your life and those around you. And by doing that every day, you start being more conscious about everything you think, everything you say, and everything you do.
Wow. What stands out to me is like, yeah, those 32,000 reviews exist, but it's like the biggest proof of the process is the human being who created the process and the person who's sitting in front of me.
Sure.
And I feel like, you know, I've done a lot of these podcasts, but I know how I feel after doing this and what the consciousness of another human being does to my own. And I feel more energized, hopeful, excited, ready to do this than I was an hour ago. Right. And that is the biggest test. And so, and that's a testament to your own work. That's a testament to your own ability to do it over and over and over again. And that is really the proof, you know, like if, what does the leader of the things do? How does he show up? Because everything else follows and flows from that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I have friends, it's funny, they'll tell me like, we'll be, you know, like a dinner or something, and like I'll be meeting someone new and they're like, is Hal really do the miracle morning? And my friend Brad especially, he goes, dude, I've gone to events with Hal. He's in bed by 8:30. He's up by 3:30 or 4:30. And he goes into the bathroom of the hotel room we're sharing so he doesn't disturb me. And he does the miracle morning sitting on the ground of the bathroom every day. You know, yeah. So it's like, you know, and it is an interesting thing. Like, I, you know, to me, I think that's the only reason that I'm so passionate about it is because I do it every day. And every day it still is the thing that matters to me more than almost, you know, in terms of my rituals and routines, it makes the biggest difference. So I appreciate the acknowledgement.
Yeah.
Danny, thank you.
How did you run an ultra marathon?
Oh, I love that. That's funny. I've hated running my entire life. In fact, I still hate running. The only time I ran was in PE, high school PE class, where you had to run the mile. And I hated every minute of it, like a lot of people do. I was never a runner. And when I started doing the Miracle Morning, I came across the Wheel of Life, right? Tony Robbins, I mean, I don't know who invented that, right? But it's simply where you evaluate like 8 to 10 areas of your life, right? And it's like, so picture a wheel with a, you know, a pie, and then the pie, each piece of the pie, one is your health, one is your finances, one is your relationships, one is your happiness, right? And then you color it from the inside, the center point out on a scale of 1 to 10, right? And then each area you see, you look at this pie and you're like, my life's out of balance, right? Or you go, wow, look at how low I'm rating myself in my health. I got to work on that. Oh, my relationships are actually great. I should feel good about that, right? But you get this instant picture of like your overall balance of the quality of your life. And so I did that early on. And I then set level 10 goals in each of the areas of the Wheel of Life. And so I'd ask myself on a scale of 1 to 10, what would a level 10 financial goal be, right? And you know, if you're making 40 grand a year, maybe it's 50 grand for the year or 60 grand, right? It's not $1 million. I mean, maybe it is, but you know, it's like, just like what would really be, to me, a level 10 goal is like, if I ended the year and I got close to that goal or I reached it, what would be a goal that would be, it would challenge me and stretch me, but it would like, it's possible. And I'd feel so fulfilled to do it. Right. And I had two friends, my friend, John Berghoff, my friend, John Vroman, that had run ultra marathons. And my friend John Vroman founded a charity called the Front Row Foundation. And he reached out. He said, hey, well, you want to run the, every year they did a charity run. I said, dude, I hate running. No. And I don't know if this was right before I started the Miracle Morning or in the beginning. I was like, no, I'm not a runner. And he goes, you could like walk a 5K with my grandma. And I'm like, whatever, dude. I'm like, I'll donate money. I'm not going to run. And then like, but the seed was planted. And as I was setting my level 10 fitness goals that year, I went, what would level 10 fitness be? And I go, dude, what if I ran a marathon and I'd raise money for my buddy's charity? Like it'd be a win-win. I'm like, I'm just going to commit and figure it out. Cause I thought, I don't even know who I'd have to become to run 26 consecutive mile. Running a mile, you know, and I've been out of high school for 10 years. I didn't want to run a mile. I can't even imagine that. I hate it. So I'm like, who would I have to become? But I got excited, scared and excited. Cause I'm like, I want to commit to it and then figure out who I have to become and be, I don't know who that guy is, but I want to become that level 10 fitness version, which is also a level 10 mental and emotional version for me. I want to commit. And then I committed to run 26 miles and I bought a book called The Non-Runner's Marathon Trainer. It's for people that hate running and that want, right? But that want to run a marathon. So how do you get yourself there psychologically and logistically, right? So I bought that book. I started reading it. And as I started reading it and getting confidence that maybe I'm going to do this, I'm going to run 26 miles, I went, well, wait a minute. My friends, John and John, both did 52. If I could do 26, why not 52? To me, both are equally so far out there. And it's very naive to think that. That's a true, I have no idea what running is about, to think that if I could run 26, I could run 52. But I'm like, I'm going to commit. So I wrote down 52 miles, ultra marathon. And I just committed publicly. So I had accountability that I'm raising money for charity. I'm committed no matter what. And I just did this marathon plan. 9 months later, by the way, if we have time, do you have time to unpack this? Okay.
Yes.
So I'm going to show you how I used affirmations combined with visualization to do this. And if it wasn't, I could tell you, if it wasn't for the Miracle Morning, I wouldn't have done 90% of the things I've done since I started 15 years ago, right? The book goals, all these goals, the cancer goals. I hated running. And so first thing I did is I followed the affirmations formula. Number one, I'm committed to running 52 consecutive miles on October 29th, 2009, no matter what, there is no other option. That's step one, right? And then step two, right? Affirm why it's a must for you. I'm committed to, and it was for me, it was one sentence. I'm committed to do this, to develop myself into the person that I need to be, that has the qualities and characteristics to be able to do anything, any goal I ever set, right? If I can do this, I can do anything. Step three, in order to accomplish this, I will follow the non-runner's marathon trainer plan to a T, right? No matter what, and follow the regimen. So that was the affirmation that every day I'm committed. Here's why. Here's what I'm going to do. Then, of course, the R in Savers, I would read the book and I would follow the plan. But then here's, we haven't talked about visualization at all. And I think visualization is equally as misunderstood because it's mistaught as affirmations. We're taught to visualize the outcome and that's it. Make a vision board. See the end goal. Now, there's merit to that. There's value, but to me, it's only half of the equation and it's the less important half of how to visualize. So the way that I teach visualization in the book, step one, yes, visualize the ideal outcome, because what that does is it makes it real for you. When, you know, something that like is a vague idea, like for me, running a marathon, it's out there. But every day, I actually printed off an 8.5 by 11 picture of the finish line of the marathon, the Atlantic City Marathon that I was going to run. So I'd see the finish line and then I'd close my eyes and it's literally 60, I mean, this is easy, fast, 60 seconds visualizing and asking myself, how am I going to feel when I've got 52 completed miles behind me and I'm crossing that finish line? And I would just smile and go, I'm going to feel like that's the proudest moment of my life possibly, right? This is pre-cancer and all that. That was the first part. And I'd spend 60 seconds and I'd get myself in that state of how great that's going to feel. And the value in that is that compels you to want to do whatever is necessary today that gets you to that end goal. But the second step in visualization, to me, this is the most important part. And of course, I call this Miracle Morning visualization. But I would ask myself, okay, what do I need to do today to take one step closer to that vision that I just had. And so here's what I would do. I would close my eyes and I would visualize my phone. I'd literally see my phone on the coffee table in front of me where I did my miracle morning, and I would see it and I would hear it going beep, 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 because at 7 a.m. is when I set an alarm to go for a run. So I'd see it saying 7 a.m. on the screen and beeping, and then I would picture myself, you know, this is from my own eyes. Some people ask, like, do I visualize it like from the outside looking at my body like I'm an observer? No, visualize seeing through your eyes the alarm going off on your phone and your hand reaching out and hitting stop. Then I would visualize myself walking through my living room into my bedroom and getting dressed in my running clothes. Then I'd visualize myself going through my living room, reaching out, grabbing the front door. Like, it's one of those first person shooter games, right? Where you see the hand reach out in front of you, and I'd open the front door, and then I would see the sidewalk. And then right there, I'd take one more moment to recite those affirmations. I'm committed to completing 52 consecutive miles on October 29th, 2009, no matter what, there is no other option. I am doing this to become the person that I need to be to accomplish every other goal that I ever set. In order to do that, I will follow the non-runner's marathon trainer plan to a T, no matter what. And then I would just go, I'm doing this. I just take like 10 seconds to go, all right, let me out this door. I'm excited. It's going to be a great run. And then I would visualize myself going on that run. And by the way, this is called mental rehearsal, right? I didn't invent that term, but that helps you understand you're mentally rehearsing doing the thing you need to do today while you put yourself in a peak mental and emotional state while you're visualizing the thing. And here's how the magic of this technique in real time. When the alarm on my phone actually went off, you know, 20 minutes later or 30 minutes later, human nature is, I'll run tomorrow. Like I could skip a day, right? Like raise your hand if you're listening and you procrastinate and you put off the thing, you know, you said you were going to do it, right? But you're like, I can do it later. And that was human nature, but that wasn't what I mentally rehearsed that morning. So that's not what happened. It's almost as if I was a robot in the best sense of the word, that I literally was like, turn off, hit stop, stand up, walk into closet, get dressed in running clothes. This just became automatic and unconscious, right? And then walked out the front door. When I opened the front door, I got flooded with those affirmations and those positive emotions, and that compelled me to get on the sidewalk and go for that run. And I have no way of knowing, but I don't think I would have trained for the marathon. I don't think, you know, I probably would have shown up and been able to not complete it because I would have been so out of shape, right? Because I committed to go there, but I would not have followed the training. And by the way, I ran, I think it was like a 6 months leading up. I ran over 500 miles in the training to be able to run that ultra marathon. So it was 500 miles that I would not, dude, I probably would have been lucky to run 20 miles if it wasn't for that visualization technique. And you can apply that to every goal you have. You're a salesperson, you need to get on the phone, visualize yourself, the alarm going off on the time it's time to make your 20 prospecting calls for the day. Picture yourself picking up the phone, dialing the phone, making the calls, talking to a customer, smiling, generate positive emotions so that when it's time to pick up the phone and dial for dollars, as they say, right? You've already been there in your mind, your body, your spirit, and it's much easier to pick up that phone and make that first call.
See tears in my eyes?
Hmm.
Holy smokes. This is crazy. I'm running my first marathon in 3 days.
Get out.
I've done 500 miles in the last 6 months, and I've been saying that to people over the past 24, 48 hours. What are the odds of that?
That's wild, brother. And I mean.
And the part about you saying you were a robot, like, is like, what's so fascinating to me is a minute before you said you were a robot, I was thinking to myself, this is robotic behavior, but it's helping you be more conscious. Oh man, oh man, what is happening? God is so great.
Amen.
Oh my God. Wow. Dude, every moment you are in is perfect, just the way it is. And I want to read a quote from you. When life gets difficult, remember that you are always exactly where you are supposed to be, experiencing what you need to experience so that you can learn what you must learn to be able to create the life you truly want, always. And that's true when life gets difficult, and that's true when life gets amazing.
Yeah.
You are always exactly where you are supposed to be.
Only if you choose to embody that mindset. It's whatever you say. If you go, I'm not supposed to be here, then you're not, right? You have to embody that mindset. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So let's read a random passage from the book, because dude, I mean, it's like, I don't know where we're going to go, but we're going to get somewhere.
Yeah. I'm curious.
This is step two from page 107. Visualize your ideal outcome.
Shut up. Dude, stop.
I swear on my life.
Stop.
I swear on my life.
Stop. There's no way you could have bookmarked it unless we like hurt, right? That's crazy, dude. That's literally what we just talked about. That's crazy.
When we visualize ourselves experiencing what we want, we stir up emotions that lift our spirits and pull us toward our vision. The more vividly you see what you want, and the more intensely you allow yourself to experience now, the feelings you will feel once you've achieved your goal, the more you make the possibility of achieving it feel real. That's from page 107 of The Miracle Morning, updated and expanded edition by Hal Elrod. Thank you so much, Hal, for coming on the show. This was an incredible, incredible podcast.
Thank you.
Tears in my eyes. You know it's a good one. Yeah. And I feel so blessed to be able to sit down here with you.
This is a God thing, man, that Akshay reached out, was like, hey, you want to be on any podcast in Austin? I mean, dude, amen to this. Yeah, I mean, I had such a great time with you, Danny.
Where should we send people to connect with you further?
TheMiracleMorning.com is the hub for everything. Of course, you can get the new book on Amazon. It comes out this 12/12/2023. That's the pub date. That's the 11-year anniversary of the original.
Of course.
But yeah, MiracleMorning.com is the hub for the movie, the app. We didn't even talk about there is a Miracle Morning app. It's a free app. 2,000 five-star reviews in the App Store. People are loving the app to be accountable to your Miracle Morning, so on and so forth. You can join the community there, all of the above. And the book is sold everywhere the books are sold.
Wow. Grab a copy. I'm going to read it now. I'm going to instill these practices. I'm so grateful to be sitting here in this chair, and I hope people on the other end can experience and really feel what I felt, which is just so much love and gratitude for this man right here, even though I just met him, even though his ideas are new to me, but they're very near and dear to my heart, and I'm so grateful for your ability to express who you truly are and be a conduit for God. So thank you for being
here. I love
you.
Who you are, brother. Like, I started to feel it when I walked in, and at this point, dude, this is what I'd call a soul brother, right? Like someone that we're meant to connect, we're aligned, and yeah, I'm grateful for you too, man.
Much love.